I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our favorite time of the week.
High school sweethearts turned married couple with two kids.
Join us for a conversation on life, parenting, marriage, and more.
Welcome to Close Enough.
That is, it catchy enough for you?
Again, it's so upbeat that...
Aren't we upbeat? Like, when you think of Gary Thomas, you think... Ray of sunshine.
Some people get that version of you.
You get the whole package, though.
I get everything.
You get everything.
Yes.
Welcome back to Close Enough.
Hello.
It's been a week since we saw you last, and we missed you so much.
We didn't see them. We heard them. No, they heard us. Never mind.
The whole dynamics of this is
true. We already screwed that up.
Yeah.
Forget about it. It's been a week.
Thanks for the warm reception to the new platform.
Oh, do people like it?
I mean, they're listening to it, so.
Okay.
But if they listen on anything else, they never knew anything changed.
Gotcha.
Other than our ads.
Yeah. It's so weird.
David told me he got a LinkedIn ad.
A LinkedIn ad?
Yeah, which we have LinkedIn, Nectar, Masterworks, which most people I think get.
Oh, that was the art thing or something like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to make people rich.
You all get out there and get the money.
Go out there and chase that paper.
Chase the paper.
If you get a chance, give us a share. Tell a friend. It's like church on Sunday. Bring a friend. Invite your neighbor.
Yeah, I guess churches still do that. Like that was like a day.
I still feel like Sunday church service is like a recruitment tool.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know.
I think it should be
like learning time.
That's the onboarding.
The onboarding. What a weird word.
that's where you get them in the door.
Yeah, but wouldn't it look differently if that was the onboarding? Shouldn't it look more...
like a private meeting in the pastor's office.
Yeah.
We'd like for you to start attending our church and join it.
Where they like personalize it.
Take some notes on
this,
so when I open my church, we'll see how
it goes. And they try to convince you to buy the timeshare, and they're going to give you free tickets.
Here's your sign-on bonus.
To the show.
Got you extra cracker during communion.
Did I send that to you?
What?
The guy on TikTok or Reels or something who bought... the communion crackers off of Amazon. I was just sitting there eating them out of the box. Like, that's so weird. I don't know why. I mean, that's what it is.
Listen, the body of Christ is tasty.
He was just, somebody called him Jesus instead of Cheez-Its.
Oh, that's slick. That's pretty slick. I like that.
It was funny. He was like, oh, the pandemic, you can get anything now on Amazon.
Yeah. Amazon, I got a new hat from Amazon.
A new what?
Hat.
Oh, you did. Yes. Thanks to our friends.
Happy anniversary to the happy couple.
Yes. The Stokes fam. They presented Gary with a hat that...
And I don't even wear hats.
He doesn't.
I wore this one all weekend.
That very prominently and in bold declares, show me your butthole. Which is a response to Gary's frequent conversations about his own butthole area due to his
colonoscopy,
prostate exams.
Yeah.
I
got to retool that whole bit after we talked about it last week. I got to retool it.
You're going to have to work on that.
It wasn't quite the same, but.
Maybe you need to go back for a follow up and.
I need some more material, dog.
I need some more material. Can you just hit me with another? You know,
yeah,
right there in the booty hole. It's so weird.
Wait, this isn't a doctor's office. Why are both of your hands on my shoulder?
Don't be creepy. Charlie.
That's a Rodney Carrington joke.
So Gary got me a massage for my birthday, and we were coming home yesterday, and Charlie was like, I thought you had a massage today. I was like, I got canceled and postponed. She was like, is it like going to the chiropractor? I was like, no, not at all. I was, you know, trying to explain to her what it's like and what you do. She was like, oh, it's so weird. I'd be afraid of getting molested. I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, that is a really harsh response to that. I'm like,
is it Deshaun Watson, who just got traded to the Cleveland Browns, has like 40 massage therapists suing him for...
That's him, though. I mean, like,
yeah, he's the client.
But that was her first go-to.
And yeah, like, let's just say there's, you know.
She was like, you're in a room? I was like, where did you think massages happened?
Easy and, Walker Park.
I was like, on the table in the middle of a mall? Weirdo. But I was just shocked by that was her first. Now I'm like, shoot, is my radar not up? Is my safety... Because
it's
never
a different world
that.
She's living in.
That's true. That's true.
You know, you gotta be on your toes when it comes to that.
Oh, I think we had our share of those, like stranger danger.
I never
PR out there,
but they were. She has the news. They didn't talk about that stuff on the news. Cough it up.
I guess, like, they didn't talk about like incidents of abuse.
Yeah.
As much I would that's right. I mean, there was just a
you could
lot
only
of, like,
squeeze so much on the 30-minute newscast at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
now it's a 24-hour news cycle.
But Charlie does think that what is it, 60 minutes or no? What's the other thing she thinks is the news? Dateline.
No, she thinks Dateline.
Dateline is the news. She watches it on YouTube.
Yeah,
so we had to. That was disappointing.
Also, Inside Edition.
Inside Edition. That's it. It's Inside Edition. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That it is news.
It's a type of news. It's scripted, you know, discussed. I don't know. It's not news. It's not just WKYT in the morning.
Yeah. That's true. But I don't know who watches, like, with all the streaming platforms, who keeps cable just for the local news? Like, we have it just because we get it free with our internet,
and
we still don't watch it.
We don't. Like, there was one morning, it was very unique that you had it turned on. Like, you went to the gym, and you came home, and you turned it on. I was like, that's wild.
Now, that is something, when I go to the gym in the morning, and I needed to leave a note because none of the remotes work. But I would have all three. Like, when I would be walking, I would have all three.
Are you the person that changes the channels? Are you a channel changer at the gym?
I'm the only one there watching it.
Interesting.
But I want to know who's there at night that's got it on like my TV and
what's
whatever.
TV?
It's some just random channel. It's like
I told
shows.
You my horror story that one morning I went in there and hopped on the treadmill and, you know, my head's down usually and I don't pay attention. I do not touch the television.
You saw the sex toy ad.
Yes. And it was right in front of the TV I was on. And so I just walked with my head down the whole time. Just embarrassed to death.
If it was me, I'd have picked up my phone and I was calling.
That's interesting. You are a TV changer, a channel changer at the gym.
If other people were there before me watching, I wouldn't do that.
You would never, like.
No, but it's just me.
But there's people that come in no matter where I am on the elliptical, usually old white guys, and they'll come in and just change the channels.
Yeah, but to be fair, there's four TVs there.
Sure. It doesn't bother me. I don't care.
Yeah. It doesn't bother. There's always a random softball game on one TV. Like, no matter what time of day you go in, it's
true.
Like a random,
random ball
softball
game. Like, over there in that corner.
Yeah.
I know exactly where
you
are.
Yeah, it's like, man, we ain't trying to watch Vanderbilt softball again.
And for whatever reason, it's always on the HGTV in the women's room. And that's so annoying to me because that's not.
It's part of the course.
That's not. I hate that. It's not a good channel, I think, to watch.
While you work out.
While you work out. Just because it's, I don't know, like I like watching sports while I work out because not only, you know, is it interesting, but it's moving fast enough that my little ADHD can kind of, it can distract me enough between that and the music and then a commercial and then there's stuff scrolling at the bottom of the screen so I can read and watch and, you know, go back and forth between different screens. So HGTV, you have
not
to be
doing it.
You have to be listening. I mean, you have to be hearing conversation and
This old house isn't doing it for you.
No.
Fixer upper or whatever that shit is. No. Yeah, I've never liked that.
I mean, I enjoy those types of things, but honestly, with TikTok,
your attention span is...
It's shot all to hell, so I can watch a whole entire home renovation in 4 minutes. You know, if somebody has gone deep enough, one of the most frustrating things for me is when somebody has done they've started a home renovation account or a room renovation, and I log in right in time for video one, and they haven't updated yet. I'm like, shit, I'm invested.
Yeah.
Now I have to wait.
It's like waiting for the next week's show on TV.
So I'm like, why'd you post it? Get at least 6 videos deep before.
Just post them all at the same time.
Post them all at the same time. Just for me, please. But yeah, I have tried to, which the Wi-Fi is really shoddy there, but some days that is one of my best tools, is watching TikTok while I'm doing cardio or something that I hate doing. Not that I've done it any time recently, because I'm pretty obese these days.
When you put your headphones on and you listen to music, I want to give our listeners a gift.
What kind of gift?
3 months free of Amazon Music. Mm-hmm. Premium. That's where all the songs are at. Go to getamazonmusic.com/closeenough. 3 free months for you. And a little something for us. It's been a year ago, we're sitting down here.
Mm-hmm.
I got drunk and we talked about Harlan's autism.
Yep. It's been 2 years since we rebooted the podcast.
Yes.
Correct? Yes. Since it was this time right after the...
Yeah,
the,
this time 2020.
Yep.
And so, then... And we're 3 episodes away from 100?
I think so.
Yeah. I told Charlie, now mark your calendars, Charlie's birthday, she's going to be on the podcast.
Oh, God.
So,
with both
all of you Charlie fans out there, including her classmates and teachers that are listening, send us some, if you got a funny story or something you want to share or questions you want to ask, we'll ask her.
But we're not going to embarrass her.
No.
We're going to keep it.
Keep it 100.
Yes. I don't know what that means.
100% accurate, real, transparent.
So, yeah, I had a moment a couple weeks ago where I realized, March is kind of a hard-hitting month for us. And it kind of came with noticing that there's this one picture I have of Harlan. It's a very distinct outfit he's wearing, and I remember putting it on him the morning of. I guess that's what happens when you have really big,
core memories.
I just remember that day putting that little outfit on him. He looked so adorable. He was so cute and all fresh and clean as we drove up to Norton. He was such a happy boy.
Well, he was happy till we got there.
Mm-hmm. And then we, but then it rained all the way home. It was cold.
And he slept
all the way home from his appointment where they announced.
They barely told us, let's be honest. They barely told us. And I
threw a couple Autism Speaks cards at us and sent us on our way.
Yeah, which is funny because I've talked to other people who've went to the behavioral center there who've had horrible experiences too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
listen, that's got to be a tough job. But you also have to have some bedside manner. But that's a year ago.
That is a year ago. I did have a friend reach out to me recently and said, so they literally just spend less than an hour with your kid and tell you they have autism. I was like, yes, unfortunately.
It's a science.
Yeah. Apparently they can just stare at it and be like, oh, that one's a little on the spectrum.
That's a short bus kid right there. So. But I have. So looking back on a year, I mean, I've talked about this before. Kind of plan this out, to see where he was at this time last year, to see where he's at today, you wouldn't recognize the kid.
No. Mm-mm.
It is he is so much fun. Now he's annoying,
I'm sure,
as any 4-year-old would be.
He's hard. He is there are some parts to trying to understand and raise him when, if the only thing you know is neurotypical kid, that it is just mind-numbing to you and frustrating and aggravating. Just do what I asked you to do. But I constantly have to go back to
I'm not neurotypical.
Right. Well, having a lot of thoughts about my own brain these days as well. I am sure it is so frustrating to not be around, if you've never been around an autistic kid, whether through school. And he has totally revamped the way I see kids at school.
Like, sure.
His brain does not operate the same way that a neurotypical, it's not him being stubborn. It's not him being, you know, it's just, and I guess with the autism diagnosis that it, you would think that would have been abundantly clear to us immediately, but it felt.
Yeah, it was like, so well defined when we got it.
It was so just like, okay. It was more about like, he's autistic now. That doesn't change him. I'm like, but it does in a way that it has to change us.
Yeah.
It has to change everything about us and how we parent. And I think that has been the biggest hurdle over him. If that makes any sense, it has been about training our brains.
Oh yeah. And to be fair, we get training.
We do.
So
we do. I could honestly use training weekly versus what we're getting every other week.
Yeah, if Holly could come 3 times a week,
it just,
it would ensure my house is clean.
I
we clean together.
Did we though?
I got a good hour's worth of vacuuming in 2 days over that, but we'll get to that later. You keep going.
I love you.
Also,
so
in
much.
Last year, Drunk Gary, who's a ton of fun, cut Abby off about every third word. So
I went back and listened.
I'm giving her the floor tonight.
I went back and listened to the podcast just to like, I'd never heard it. I've never went back to listen to it. It was too hard. It was emotional. Gary was a lot. I didn't want to know how much, like, how fast I was going to lose my job based on everything that he said whilst super intoxicated. So I just, you know, ignored it. That strategy. And so I came back to it and I cried again listening to it. But I did notice, like, damn, I had like 3 times I was trying to say something and Gary just like went off to the races.
That was the old Forester.
Oh, yeah. Blame it. And in the process of me trying, I couldn't even remember. He went so far away, I couldn't remember what I was going to try to say. So I need to start podcasting with a paper and pen in hand. But just looking back through that year and knowing how scared and frustrated, I think for me, and what I said then, and I stand by this, is I have to maintain a present mind. Like, what are we going to do with Harlan right now? Because my brain wants to live in planning mode, prep mode. I just feel like that is a way to avoid issues, but it also creates so much anxiety because I'm trying to plan for things that I have no idea.
You don't know what's going to happen.
No clue what's going to happen yet.
You can't really do that.
No, but I do feel like hearing the person, hearing myself then, and knowing myself now, I think I'm improving on that.
Yeah.
I think the ABA therapy has been very helpful in that. So just to recap, like, where Harlan's been.
Yeah.
We get the diagnosis in March of 2021.
Yes.
He
finishes out preschool for the year.
Yes. And that didn't change anything. You know, we're doing it in the middle of like half-assed pandemic. He'll go sometimes, go 2 days a week. And then we had a babysitter the other 3 days. Sometimes Gary would stay with him. So then it hit summer. And in this process of trying to figure out what to do with Harlan, I immediately just started calling everyone I knew, whether they were a counselor, a therapist, a specialist, and his current ABA like person is from our county, was a teacher in our county, and her name keeps popping back up. So somebody's like, here's her number, call her. So I could like just personal call her, not as her job as a therapist, just, hey, what do I do? And so she kind of gives me the rundown. I'm sitting outside of, I distinctly remember I'm sitting like in my car while Charlie's in swim practice. And she's just throwing all this like ABA info at me.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to understand it. All I keep like getting is like, it's a center. It's a place where he will be one of multiple autistic kids.
Not at that time. It was coming.
It was coming.
They were doing it in house then.
Yes,
which we were not interested in.
We were like, how? Here. No, because it was, you know, potentially all day, and that's not an option for us. So, you know, we didn't know.
We barely function around each other all day.
Right. So I was like, I don't, who stays home all day with it? Like, that just didn't seem realistic. So we were like, if you get this center, you know, which was down the road, potentially.
We didn't know where it was at or anything.
We just down the road, like down in time.
Like,
It was going to be in the county somewhere, maybe. No one really knew where. And so, you know, we'd heard about it. Well, we throw in his paperwork and kind of like drug our feet on it, honestly. Just number one.
There's a lot of misconceptions about ABA. And I feel like everybody has an opinion about it. Like, I'm in school right now, and in my education class, they drug it through the mud.
Really?
As the worst, yeah.
ABA stands for Applied Behavioral Analysis. As more voices of autism, and more social media is out there. So you've got speech therapists out there talking about it. You have actual autistic people talking about it. That one of their problems with it. So there's a lot of, let me back that up a little bit. Within autism, you have people, I think originally, some folks understanding or initial thought with autism is like, we have to cure it. We have to fix it. And that's not what
it's a rash.
Like there's that you can't do that.
Put some cream on it.
So that was like an initial sort of thought about it. So you had things like the autism, like puzzle pieces and stuff in Autism Speaks, which a lot of people and a lot of voices now as a society, as we start to try to hear from more authentic, you know, voices and not trying to talk for those who are going through an experience themselves, say like, let the autistic people speak for this when they can.
Yeah.
So we, you know, their claim is like, we are not puzzle pieces to be fixed or figured out. We are not, normalizing autism is sometimes considered, and I think that's where the ABA thing comes in. It feels like you're trying to take what is a neurodivergent person and make them fit into a neurotypical way. And so sometimes that looks like strapping them, you know, if their way of coping with something is to rock or to flap or to circle, that's how they cope, then why should you mask that or change that? And I don't think anybody does that with Harlan ever. Like, none of his goals are to like stop flapping. Like, his goals are
which
like
he doesn't really that
he
much.
Does he's not a big flapper, or, you know, and maybe, you know, this I think ABA varies on your level of spectrum, where you are on the spectrum.
All right. So let's rewind.
Okay.
We jumped way far ahead.
Sorry.
So we fill out the paperwork to get it going. We didn't know this at the time. His original diagnosis was incomplete.
Oh, shocking.
It was incomplete.
Shocking. That 30 minutes behind the window was not fulfilling. God, I still don't like that woman.
So we get, first of all, we had to submit to our insurance to get him
a complete new reevaluation, like the same
from a different place, everything. Yeah. And I was in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. I get a call from a guy, and we're talking like to get Harlan evaluated the first time, it was 6 months. It was from October till March.
We thought the first time. Then when we hear we have to do this the second time, they're like, maybe November, guys. And we're like, shit, school's going to start. What are we going to do with him?
So turns out the lady that's doing the
evaluation,
getting to have a baby. So she is, first of all, I wish I remembered her name. She was absolutely amazing. But I'm in Orlando, Florida, by the pool with Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Phone rings. This is this guy. Hey, are you still interested in having Harlan evaluated? Absolutely. Can you do it like in 2 weeks? I was like, yes, absolutely. What? He's like, and I'm by the pool, like it's, and I'm in my happy place anyway. So I'm like, fuck yeah.
Let's go.
And so I call Abby and say, hey, like, I'm sending you the paperwork. Get it done. You know,
I like, I think I immediately ran up to school that day, started printing stuff off, and had it all filled out, ready to go. And, oh, man, the paperwork. Anybody who is going through an autism diagnosis or an evaluation, you get so sick and tired of the same questions.
Yeah.
Yes, no questions about your kid.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I can't.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And not define him in yes or no.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes.
Kinda?
Does he respond to his name?
Sometimes.
How many times do I have to say it? And do I touch it? Like, it was so conditional. Yeah. I hated saying no. You know, because it's like with every no or sometimes every yes, you're like, oh, here it is.
Yeah. So I got to take him back to Louisville to a different place, to a center.
This is the Cultivate.
It wasn't Cultivate.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was their people.
It was through Cultivate set it up for us.
Okay.
But it wasn't them. But it was a center in Louisville. Very much like the center where I have now. Like, they had kids in there. Mm-hmm. And so this lady is so awesome. Like, and you're at a swim meet or something.
At Charlie's
regional swim meet or something.
Final conference swim meet, and got horrible reception, and it was storming all day.
Yeah. So, but it, like, and I, even then I was like, he did really good. And of course it comes back the same, but
the data was,
but I
like
felt so, the way she played with him, he led everything. And I was, and like, she was very like, good job, Harlan. All this. I was like, I just felt really comfortable.
The whole explanation, which I only heard like every third word because I was like running around this place trying to get reception.
Yeah.
But they made it, like, they asked us so many times how we were feeling.
Yeah.
What we were doing, and it just felt good. And so that was sort of like, okay, if we're going to do this, it's starting out feeling good.
Yeah.
If these people are connected, let's just see. So we get to the next step, which is the Cultivate Center comes in and they do the at-home evaluation.
So this is the first time I've met yes. them. In the meantime, Harlan's getting ready to start school back. Yes. Like, he's still enrolled in preschool. We don't know. Like, we have a Zoom call with Cultivate, mm-hmm. and they tell us, like, this is a full-time program.
And the first Zoom is so
procedural
of, like, this is what it – and everything is – so everything's, like, super data-based, which, unless you've been in a school system for a while, like, that could be so overwhelming. But with any of our special ed students for anything, or mostly any of our students, people want very quantitative data associated to why you are doing something. So that it just doesn't look like this sort of touchy-feely, like, this is what we think is good for kids. Like, you can say that he has – these three things that he needs to work on, right?
Yeah.
So that first meeting, Gary was like, I don't like it.
Well.
But I mean.
Like, from the onset, I just felt like it was very cut, dry, like, this is how it's going to be, which it turned out way more flexible and cool than I thought. But then they come to our house, and it's.
Because
they go inside, outside. Like,
I watched, you know, the lady who runs this program, like, get on the trampoline. And I'm like, Gary, she is bouncing with Harlan. My ass doesn't bounce with Harlan on the trampoline. He rolls. She rolls. Like, she's like, let's roll. And I'm like, he's going to kill her. And, you know, and the other one is just marking data. And they're asking me questions. I'm like, hey, mom, can you say? And, like, they were just seeing what he could respond to.
Yeah.
he couldn't sing a song on command. They would say, let's jump. And he'd be like,
no.
And he would just sit down.
Like, yeah,
it's almost like he did this day, opposite.
He's still very self-absorbed.
Yes. Which is, you know,
yeah,
it's his world.
It's his world we're living in.
Living in it. So they came in. It's so funny because we just did his 6-month evaluation with him. Mr. Potato Head, he was obsessed at that time with Mr. Potato Head, and that's all he wanted to play with. And they worked that into his goals, and now he couldn't give two shits about Mr. Potato Head. In fact, maybe within a week after him starting the facility, we're like, yeah, he's out of that stage. They're like, we just packed his room full. Like, they went and bought a Mr. Potato Head that did some really cool stuff. Couldn't care less. He was just over it. He got into puppies.
Yeah. So after that, we still didn't know when. Like, they knew they were working on this place, whatever. And then we get a call like, hey, it's going to open up. Turns out, if there was any divine intervention to why we're here at this point in time, and it's been done. You could walk there.
Yes.
Abby has done it.
We'll explain that later.
But so we get to go take a tour. And
we're like, gosh, it's small. Like, in your head, you want your kid having this, like.
Listen, I don't think you want more than what they got there.
I went outside. I mean, I do.
And when I was talking with one of his BTs, and they're like, that's the one thing. Like,
yeah.
Because they went outside. And it was a mistake because Harlan did not want to go in.
He does. He loves outside. He loves outside. So we made the choice because to fulfill his ABA, what would you call it? His prescription, I guess.
Right.
His recommendation is he completes 40 hours of ABA. So from 8 in the morning until 4 p.m., there are breaks and stuff. Harlan is with behavior
therapists
who work with him on, I mean, the data we get back on the goals that they do, he's doing some academic stuff, but a lot of it is just, it's behavioral stuff, like going potty. They've worked on cutting his hair. They, like, he knows his letters, but not because, like, they are intentionally teaching him his ABCs, but they're just trying to, like, do letter recognition and stuff like that. It's all about him.
He's spelling Pixar the other night.
Yeah. I found stickers on my table in there that said kids. So he's spelling. I mean,
it's PBS kids.
He sounded out dog. And I don't know what's appropriate for. I can't remember what's appropriate for a 4-year-old. And you can't base it on Charlie because I felt like she was sort of, you know, language wise, Charlie was above the game.
Yeah.
It still is.
Yeah, we couldn't even get her referred for preschool.
We tried.
We tried to dumb her down a little bit. It didn't work.
And I think she like knew what a parallelogram or some shit was. And I'm like, damn it, Charlie. Act stupid. No, we were trying to say that she had social problems because she was an only child. If you've met our kid,
they're like, oh, she's awesome.
Yeah, she had no social problems at all as a child. Now, who knows?
So Harlan gets to go all day and to see how he interacts with other kids. Like, ask anybody that's in that line. He is the friendliest, most polite.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
But my favorite thing that he does, and I should not laugh, and it is not funny, but there are sometimes if he sees a BT that he does not like or he knows is going to make his ass work, he's not stupid. When they walk by, he goes, ha! And he hides.
Yeah.
Like he screams at them. And it's just, he says and does what anybody else would be feeling. He does not care to be like, ha! No.
Yeah.
But,
and add into this that he's had the best in occupational therapy and in speech therapy.
Through public school and through the private hospital experiences. I mean, our kid has been loved on and poured into. And I don't know. And these people and their patients, you had to leave. I don't know if you noticed it, but like we were doing our at-home visit with Holly, and she was going over dad, and she has to like pull up a computer, open up. Harlan is
hanging off of her.
He's like patting on her. I think you left, and he had his crayon, and he was like trying to like pretend to color on her, and she just keeps talking, and I'm like, Harlan, stop. And she just takes the crayon, continues talking. Like, the patience is amazing. Like it motivates me to understand, like, you can't react to anything he does or it will amplify him.
Right. Even like when you go to disciplining.
Yes.
Like, so when I, this little bastard, like when he does something and I try to get on him, calm down, Dad. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm just like, you.
They said at school one day, a kid was having a moment in the hallway. Harlan.
No. In the room. Harlan opens the door.
Yes. A kid was in his own room having his little moment. Harlan leaves what he is doing, stops his activity, opens his door, and yells, calm down, and says the kid's name, and then shuts the door. So he doesn't like things to get super intense emotionally.
Yeah, you can't raise your voice to him.
Yeah, we have to be really careful. This is going to be full disclosure, and I do not want people to think that it is just quiet and happy and we are just all speaking in our inside voices in the house. We're not.
Oh, no.
I am not an inside voice person. I try to be.
Most of the time, I'm pretty soft-spoken.
Shit. Gary is not. We are raising a 13-year-old who will make, I believe, the most patient person want to yell all the obscenities. Mm-hmm. So, we raise voices. It is probably the one thing. If I could like wave a magic wand and get our family to do something differently, I would like that to be one of the things that we don't do as much. Not just because of Harlan, but just because I know it's not like a healthy place. But for him especially, I have to like check it really fast because he will jump in, start yelling. God knows who he's yelling at. Or whose side?
Or he tells us to calm down.
Or he tells us to calm down. So it's you know, a really, he is an interesting barometer as far as someone who does not have a grip on emotions. He's also hypersensitive to them. It's so weird. Like, we use colors to name emotions. Like, this is something we could not have done.
And he does not enjoy
being red.
His emotions being anything other than green.
Green. So, green is good. Green is calm.
Yeah, happy.
Happy. And then red, obviously, is angry. And so that has been one we've really had to work on because his aggression, he is not aggressive, I would say, like, in a way that's uncontrollable. Would you?
He's not naturally aggressive.
Right.
It's when, like, he doesn't get his way or when he gets embarrassed. Mm-hmm. That's a big trigger. Like when he gets embarrassed
and you don't really
like
know,
he'll rush you and you're like, hey, it's okay. And
what's going to embarrass him? And you know, you think with a normal kid, you can say, hey, no, that's wrong. Like you're doing this wrong. And this is not, we don't do it like that. But the abstract way that you have to talk about emotion, he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
He has no concept of guilt or shame.
But he loves to ask us if we're happy.
Yes. And wants to see me smiling. He will rip my, I have to keep his nails short because he will rip my face off sometimes.
He'll make you smile.
To like take my cheeks.
Not in the cute way.
No. And like pull my cheeks up to make sure, like if I'm getting in the car and I'm really close to him, he's checking my face for smiles. So it's so interesting, you know, what he sees and what he thinks about. And so all of that to say, you know, a year from now, I think the biggest change has been us.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah. In his progress, too. Yes. Like, he's a different kid, but, like, yeah, we've had to be different and patient and understanding,
you know,
to a degree that I never thought I could.
Right. And
like if I could beat the autism out of him.
And, you know, I think it's so hard for me to talk about him to people, I guess, who have not been around autistic people.
If you've never been around autistic, like, I don't, day to day, he's just Harlan. He's just normal. Yes. Like, that's our new normal. Mm-hmm. It's him. You don't notice it at all until you get him around other people.
Yes.
And you're like, oh,
yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, and I do feel like, do you feel like I'm being judged constantly? Or?
Oh, I don't care about that. I feel uncomfortable, like, for him, like,
right.
or for the other people around him.
I don't want to have to explain him to other people.
Well, I like it.
I just don't. I mean, I know eventually, you know, we used to take him to the park. Mm-hmm. And I used, and I've, we've not done this in a year because of the, you know, the weather and stuff. So he's had several,
yeah,
several months, you know, since he's.
Well, I took him in, I guess in the fall we went.
Right, in the fall. But even, you know, even then, I remember him having a huge meltdown at the park. We were playing with his toys. He had brought his new Paw Patrol toys to the park. And another kid wanted to play. And Harlan was like, nope, yeah. These are brand new.
Now, he's very much more apt to share and play. Like, he's excited when he sees other kids.
Yes. But I did not know to this other dad, what did I need to say? Like, yo, like, he's not going to share with your kid.
We're also not the family that, and this is not, I don't want this to sound like contrite to people that are this way, but there's no like autism awareness bumper sticker or anything like that. Not, this is not us.
Right.
You know, like, and I see, and like, we were gifted a sticker for our, yes, car, and I'm very appreciative, but I'm like, that's not.
I think that was more of a safety thing than a awareness thing.
Yeah, but it's still like, I have an autism shirt.
I do too. I will have an inclusion medal.
Just because my favorite brand of shirts had one, I was like, well, that's fitting. Mm-hmm. And it's not the puzzle piece, it's the infinity sign.
That's right, as it should be.
And it's got apes in it. Mm-hmm. And nobody's ever said anything until one of our friend's kids was like, are those monkeys? I was like, yep.
Yep, they are. But I do, like, that is still hard for me. Like, how much explanation do I have to give? Do I need to give everybody, like, a quick tutorial on, like, how to handle Harlan before you, like, present him, you know, in a place? I'm taking him to Malibu Jack's tomorrow for a birthday party. Part of me is like, yes, this is sensory overload. That should be his love language.
Yes, but he will also be all about it.
That's going to amp him up even more. Is, yeah, he going to, like, will he take a kid out? I don't know. Who's to say?
Yeah, like, it. Also, the biggest thing is he looks 7.
That has been.
He's huge.
That has always been within our goals and conversations with all of his behavior folks and anybody that deals with him is, what are your biggest concerns? Harlan is big. So when Harlan does have a fit,
yeah,
it feels way bigger than. I even had this dream about this the other night. His fits feel so hard to manage because he could really hurt you. I mean, he's a big boy.
He hurt you.
You hurt me. Okay.
Although he did. This little bastard kicks me in his sleep. Like, can we just say, though, we went from a point where Abby would cry and be just extremely emotional over the fact that Harlan would never say her name. And her wish came true. In the middle of the night, every night.
About 2 a.m.?
Oh, hey, Mom.
Oh, hey, Mom.
And just.
It's so cute.
Like, every. Abby was gone one night. I'm in the living room. He's in his bed. Like, he. I don't want you. Like, he sleeps with us, but not all night. Like,
he finds it. He, again, I've said this 100 times. He could find me 4 houses down in somebody else's basement.
So it could be sometimes it's 3 a.m., sometimes it's closer, like, the time to wake up.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there watching TV. I don't know where you're at. I think, whatever. He comes out of his bedroom, doesn't pay any attention to me, walks into the bedroom, says, oh, hey, Mom. She's not there. He realizes that, doesn't come to me, goes right back to bed. And I text Abby, I was like, you'll never believe what just happened. This little bastard came looking for you and then just went right back to bed.
Just went right back.
So maybe if you just, like, pretend you're not there,
yes,
he'll go back.
It has cracked me up from the first time he said it. Like, I think it was one morning that I had to do like an early morning clean before somebody was coming over. And I'm like, it's 4 a.m. And I just see that little face come around the corner. And he's just like, oh, hey, Mom.
And when I say he does it every night, he does it. He says that every night.
And then the next thing is a huggin'.
Yeah.
Which means he wants a hug. And that just means he's getting ready to kick Gary out of the bed.
Yeah, that's true. But then guess who he wakes up in the morning? Me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dad, my phone? Bro, it's 6 o'clock. You can have whatever you want in this house. You want the keys to the car? Here you go. Let me sleep.
Here's a bottle of bourbon and some goldfish, kid. Knock yourself out.
So, yeah, when this happened, and then when I decided to go back to school, like, at first I wanted to go back to be a physical therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Assistant. Yeah. And then I was like, nope. one, for the last 25 years, I've told everybody about how great of a teacher I would be. But then I'm like, I don't know how Harlan, like, I don't know what this looks like. I do know, just from observation, like, elementary school kids get love, and they're little, and they get good treatment. And then once you get to where, you know, you're 12, 13, 14 years old, like, and I'm not saying this is the norm, but it's fend for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're just, you're an annoyance.
It's harder. I mean, it's... And it's not, oh man, it's so complicated. It's so complicated because you've literally, you know, you've got things like inclusion. You have the idea, you know, the, like, we want Harlan. This is where I have to really slow my brain down because I make some big sweeping statements and we're still trying to learn how to, like, poop in the potty. So God, I need to slow
down. Guys, we'll, pray for me.
We'll go there in a minute. So, you know, you want a student to learn, and I have my share. I go back to this all the time. The year that I was pregnant with Harlan, I had 5 autistic kids in my high school classroom, and every single one of them was different. So my approach with every single one of them. So
that's how we caught the autism.
That was it. We caught it. I thank God, because there was a part of me that was like, man, how, you know, in 5 different classes, 2 of them were just some pretty high needs, you know. But they all learn so differently. And I just, you know, I don't know what gets done, you know, in the universe and God and just placing things in front of you. But, like, it allowed me to just make a lot of decisions as a teacher, not as a parent, but as a teacher, of just like, what do you do for this kid mm-hmm. all year long? What is the most important thing for them to learn? Because does it matter if they understand, you know, the overall theme to Persepolis? No. Is it the perseverance for one just to get through a text? Is it understanding theme? And for another student who is an artist, does she need to know, you know, central themes?
Like, do you think Elon Musk is autistic?
Oh, I think everybody's autistic. Some I think there's so like many smart people.
Harlan has the Elon Musk billionaire autism.
I don't think he does.
I don't.
Who was the comedian who just... There are so many people that are late, I think from our generation, a little bit before, our late diagnosis for autism or for ASD, I guess you should say.
Yeah.
I think Harlan has a lot of gifts. I play this game a lot in my head of, like, which kind of autistic kid is Harlan, because in the world of autism, you'll hear...
In the world of autism.
You'll hear someone say, if you've met a kid with autism, you've met one kid with autism.
Because right.
They're so different. It is so different. And for something to be uniquely so standardized in how it is diagnosed.
Right.
It's amazing to me how unique every single kid is. So you have to... When people say it's on a spectrum, it's not a sliding scale. But if you think about a kid... And if every single one of your personality traits and every single one of your skills was a dial, like on a soundboard, okay? If that was your brain, somebody like our neurotypical people are going to have a soundboard that looks pretty similar with some dials up and down. But in your autism community, those dials could be all over the place. You know, the speaking dial could be really high up, but the, you know, eye contact dial or the sensory process.
Don't ask Harlan to make eye contact with you. It pisses him off. Because he's smart enough to know that you want him to do that, and he doesn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Which, that was, as we were leaving public school, right before we left his public preschool, I thought it was really cool. His speech therapist was taking that off of his IEP.
Yeah, because they realized, like, oh, this triggers him.
Well, and it was just... at the time, not the most important thing to get from him.
Right.
So I appreciate that, because you'll see that's one of the, like, ABA controversial things and speech therapist things. But at the same time, I think, like, well, eye contact is one of those things that lets people know I'm not an eye. I realize I don't make eye contact with people very often.
I'm in classroom with students, I'm a lot better.
To
assert my dominance that way.
Probably.
But I hate when people stare at me.
Oh my God, you're such a weirdo.
Well,
I don't like to make eye contact, and I will talk more when I
So you're not even making eye contact with me right now.
If you could go back and think about the podcast, I stare more at objects than I do at you while we're talking. It's me processing what I'm thinking, and I'm trying to see my words in my head.
I got you.
But he's you can say, look at me, and
he'll look.
Yeah. So anyway, I think people with autism, like, their dials are just all over the place, and that's why you can't say... I think people do get a misnomer is,
oh,
like,
you got that type B autism. Right. You know, like,
or,
oh,
or
man,
they're just a
I wanted that C autism.
Like, they're just a little bit autistic. Like, you can't be just a like, you're autistic.
You can't be just a little bit pregnant.
No, right, right.
I'm so just kind of pregnant right now.
Like, you're autistic or you're not, and yeah, then your dials within that are turned a certain way. So I think just figuring him out, but I don't think he is that, and you're not, I don't think you're supposed to say high functioning anymore. I don't know what, it's something high needs or low needs. I don't, or support. I don't know. I don't know.
Support. I know this, when I drop him off and I see the true spectrum.
Wait, every kid that walks in and out there is so different.
They are so different. From what their needs are, how they interact with each other, age, how they inter age,
gender.
I do believe, and in talking with some people, like, I feel confident that, like, ABA would not be good to start with, like, a 15-year-old.
No, no.
Like, they do. Like, some places will run a kid till they're 21 years old. Mm-hmm. But you got to catch them in that formative stage. Like, once you develop your habits and stuff, it's going to be that much more challenging to break
and
those.
And that may be where the controversy comes in. Maybe that's where it is on older autistic people. I think for Harlan, we're not asking him to do anything that is outside the norm for any preschool age student.
Right. And that's the goal. Like, we think we're going to be able to work him into preschool. And
so, yes. And his, and our BTs have the same goal. Like, they hope to see Harlan being, like, a part-time student next year.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be weird. He goes to school this summer. Like, he will be in class this summer. You know, unless we intentionally say, hey, we're going
to
keep him.
Yeah, like, it's not like we can take him out for vacation or whatever. Right.
We just have to, you know, make that known because they have to rearrange things.
But to be fair, we tried to put him in class today.
Yeah. They offered a Saturday time, and I was like, hey, he's in. But they didn't have enough people. And it's not because, like, we get rid of him, but God bless his routine.
That is the key.
And I can't. So I had to keep him home Thursday. And as much as I tried to replicate it, I can't.
Yeah.
And I think.
But also, this is his domain.
Right. You can't do that here.
Yeah.
You cannot keep him. That's why, you know, we don't take him a ton of places right now because, you know, managing him in, like, new spaces.
We took him to Cattleman's. Mm-hmm. And he did pretty good. But the stimulus of everything, like, from the table to the decorate to the fucking salad bar. He was just like, whoa. Whoa.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's but
he was
people.
So cute because, listen, if you talk to Harlan, he will talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Ish, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to have a conversation, but if you say hi, he's going to say hi. Yes. If you hand him something without prompt, he will say thank you.
We're just now working on questions. Like, he can just now start answering different, like, what questions. We don't know who questions yet.
So when, like, we're asking him things, we'll say, how about, and he's still, so he says, bow, bow.
A bow, bow. It's our favorite.
And his thing now is, this is where the big clash is. He is marked his territory as his spot, which just so, he's like, my spot. This is my spot.
Get out of my spot.
And that spot is actually Abby's spot.
I have a little Waller spot on the couch.
Like, it's when the day's done and the chores are over and you see Abby get in that spot, it's over. Her day's over. To the point where I did my podcast the other night. I come up stairs, her phone, like, TikTok's blaring, whatever. Everybody's in bed. I said, hey, babe, what are you doing? I said, hey. She doesn't move. I look, she's dead asleep with her phone in her hand. I take the phone out of her hand, still in place, holding, like, and I take a picture, and I made her look at it. She's like, what am I doing with my hand? I was like, that's where your phone was at. You fell, like, dead ass asleep.
I can fall asleep to TikTok. Can put me in like some. I don't have to think. I think it makes me not think.
I'm about to uninstall it.
Why?
It brings me no value. Like I hear people talk about it, I waste so much. I don't waste that much time on it. It does not interest me.
I do have to. I do find. So I've got a little new thing that like if I swipe, I give myself like 5 or 6 swipes, and if I'm not in, I turn it off. So I'm getting better at.
Yeah.
Because I think I used to wait and look for. Like the TikTok I was, you know, and sometimes I do look for things. Like I know I got my Dollar General TikTok, coupon TikToks. And
yeah, he's going to get kicked out of Dollar General, Family Dollar today for not having her. They didn't accept her coupons.
Right. We got it fixed. We got it corrected.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. I had $9 more that need to be taken off. I had those coupons.
We're going to get that 9 back.
We did. We sure did. Times are tough. That is one tank of gas.
Inflation.
Or one, no, I mean, not one
that's
tank.
That's 1 gallon
of gas. That's 1 gallon of gas, what I meant. That was 1 gallon of gas. I need that. Gary's going to kill me one day. Listen.
Oh, my God.
Hang on. Since we have followers on this podcast, if y'all could, like, just reach out and be like, hey, I got you. When I am traveling and I inevitably run out of gas, can one of y'all pick me up and just bring me up? Gary don't have to know anything. But it's going to happen. Yep. I like to play it real tight with the I just could not bring myself to go pump gas.
I can't be bothered with gas. I just can't be bothered to pump gas.
I hate it.
Like, you don't even need that much gas for the week. And like, it would take you cold. 3 minutes.
It was so cold. I wish I would have pumped it. I need to remember to pump it when it's warm out. Because I hate pumping with gold.
Is there no full service stations around here anymore?
I wonder.
There's
now, there's some states that it's
the law that they do it. Yeah. That's not the law here.
It should. It could create more jobs for people.
Also, guys, a little update from last weekend. I could get spoiled with no kids out in the middle of nowhere. Abby mentioned this today, like, so we had the best time with our friends. And like we said, we don't get this often. Mm-mm. We don't get this often enough.
No.
Even when it's like, I'm not going to say inconvenient, but it's like you could be doing other things, but like,
this we could at any given time say, shit, we could stay home and do laundry.
Yeah.
Any given day, clean that house.
So we get there.
Hang on, if you didn't listen, we went to all of our huge friend group, got together as many of us as we could. We were missing a couple couples.
Love you, Rob.
Lacey, Kelsey, we went to,
it was not Natural Bridge.
So in our head, I thought it was Red River Gorge, which Gary says Natural Bridge, and I know it's all in the same area, but we were legit over in the Berg,
Frenchburg,
which is 30 minutes away from us. We are driving up a ridge that was similar to just any regular road, okay?
Yeah.
And you're going
any Eastern Kentucky ridge. Holler.
Yes. Yeah. And so you're up on the ridge and you're just passing people's houses and like you're supposed to be at this very like idyllic luxurious Tennessee Gatlinburgish cabin. Right, that like is huge. It's a monster when you look at it online. And there, as you're driving down this road, there is nothing that indicates that at some point it's going to turn into this place.
Just poverty.
So, like at any point, for what it's worth, I hate this, but like in my head, I heard the Diane Sawyer like narrator come on, and she was going to like start narrating about poverty in Mountain Dew Mouth, like
Appalachians.
Like to your left, you will see. You know, I mean, just folks on their porch. Like it's normal to us, and I'm not trying to shame that or anything, but it didn't match what we were driving into, right?
Right.
And you know, we're local, so it didn't mean shit to us.
Yeah, but
in my head I kept thinking like, what if you've come out to like be in the gorge, this is the place you, and you're probably like, where the hell am I? Like what is, you know, you or your only experience has been Gatlinburg, you know, and you roll into these like cabin subdivisions where that's all there is. So we get to this cabin and it is just amazing. Like Gary and Stokes get there a little bit before me, and they're like running up and down the stairs like a couple kids. Like, did you see this? I went on the balcony. Oh, look, there's a pool table. Like, They're like opening up all the doors and
it's like
counting,
8 bedrooms,
counting the bathrooms,
10 bathrooms, 2 hot tubs, a pool table, foosball table. March Madness is going on. We had your pick of food and drink, both
like friends,
Gentile and adult beverages.
Friends. There were 2 refrigerators. Like, I come from a home.
Oh, yeah. The kitchen was amazing.
I have to, like, bend over to see what's in my fridge because it's like a tiny. Do you want to elaborate? Is that just makes
no,
you
go
feel.
Ahead.
Anyway, so, you know, I do believe that the, you know, the marker of wealth is a fridge with a little ice cube maker. And as a kid, that was always, I was like, man, they got an ice cube maker and a water thing on their fridge. Wow.
And we got 2 of them here.
We have 2 of them here. Just glorious counter space. It was just so cool. So, and so much damn food. I think we all thought we were going to starve to death or we didn't. I don't know. I don't know what we thought was going to happen. So, we are going to stay Friday night and Saturday night in this cabin. Mm-hmm. And with no, like, we had originally discussed, like, possibly hiking, which Gary, hard no. Hard no on the hiking. But we get to this place.
There's no hiking.
We're not
we
in the gorge.
We could rappel.
We could rappel.
Rock climb.
It was cold. It was rainy. But
did that stop us from getting in the hot tub?
Sure didn't. Not me. I didn't get in. Gary got in. All the furry chested men who were, you know, covered from the elements.
We chopped some fire. Like, we thought about doing a fire pit, but we didn't. There's no chairs out there. Like, there's an awesome outside grill. But, like, we got to eat, drink, and be merry.
Yes.
Like, and we took naps.
I think so. Saturday, we all woke up, like, kind of, like, 8-ish, somewhere in there.
Had breakfast.
Had amazing breakfast.
Shout out Sarah Ellis.
Great breakfast.
Giselle.
And
did nothing.
Like, did nothing. Like, Micah had, like, a soup on the crock pot for lunch, and people just kind of came and went and got sandwiches, and we just laid around and watched TV. Some played pool. We talked. Like, I literally sat on a couch and talked for, like, uninterrupted, like, for an hour or more. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, let's go take a nap. And we took a nap. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, then somebody was like, let's go to the hot tub. Then dinner. Oh, my God. Giselle's tacos. Mm-hmm. I just want to open up. I just love them.
Then we stayed up, played pool, listened to music.
I'm not good at pool.
Nobody was good at pool.
Apparently, but y'all played anyway. Like, y'all had fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I just like.
It was so cool.
The hyper-competitive people.
See, that's not me.
Like, Matt and Micah are super competitive.
I don't get that.
And then
I want to be that somewhere in my heart. I'm competitive about weird things.
I mean, just know if you're that person, I'm cheating every chance I get to beat you. But, but people making up their own rules. It was fun regardless. Like, I had the best time.
So that's today. I was like, remember when we took a nap?
Took a nap at this time last week.
Remember that? We took a nap today, though. My head hurts. I think I'm getting a.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is that time of year. It's always that time of year when somebody's doing something. But it's track season. So our daughter, who's in middle school, got to go to the high school track meet. Mm-hmm.
Which she's a shot put thrower, so she throws with a heavier implement.
Yeah, but anyway.
But we were up at 9 a.m. We were up at 8 a.m.
Yeah, we were up at 8 to get her there. And then it snowed last night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we were we were going to split. Abby was going to watch the discus, which we thought was first, and then I was going to watch the shot put.
Inevitably, girls' discus is first. I stand by that.
And not a one of them know how to throw it, so. But Abby gets there, catches Charlie's last throw of shot put.
Because I was not going to rush to get there to watch her throw discus. She's just not good at it. I just don't enjoy it.
So
she didn't even want to throw high school discus.
But she was probably 3rd or 4th.
I looked up her shot. She was 10th in her shot.
Yeah.
They also have her listed as a 12th grader, so. It's fine.
Eat you a little something there.
Can you hear me eating?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I'm watching the discus. It starts to snow. You would think that these kids had never seen snow. I mean, there's snow on the fucking ground when you get there. So it starts snowing, and it's like, you hear, wah! I'm like, whoa, what's going on? They're like, it's snowing.
I need to prepare you for this. You're going to be a teacher someday, okay? Listen to me carefully.
Yeah, but they're going to be...
No. This is what I know. You don't know this. You're going to be teaching. Your window, your blinds will be open casually. When precipitation comes down from the sky whilst a window is open.
It's an event.
They lose their minds. I don't care if they are tiny little eighth graders. I don't care if they're 12th graders. We need to go to the window. We need to look. Is it sticking? What is it doing? Are we getting out of school? What's happening? I heard so-and-so, it's slick up in my road. Like, rain, even.
It's slick up a holler.
We have to stop and look at the precipitation because we have never seen it in our lives before. So, on this date, I need you to remember, when you step into a classroom, it's going to happen. And you'll be like, damn it. She's right.
I'm probably going straight to superintendent, just to be honest with
you. Oh, okay. Okay. Well.
But anyway.
Sure.
It was like, so I got to watch all the, and I wear shorts year round.
I said, it's really cold out.
It was 40 degrees.
It was, but in that area, it's but so but the wind was really stinking cold. Windy. Like, the kids just looked awful.
Yeah, Charlie, they looked had, like, a little miserable.
The good thing about throwing is, generally speaking, you can keep your, it's a more laid back place, and they'll let you keep sweatshirts and stuff on, even though I still have a very, it is how many years later, Gary? 25 years later.
You think that sounds like it's way off, but it's not.
I was throwing a discus at Boyd County, and it was snowy, gross out, and the husband and wife that always ran the discus and shot put at Boyd County were from Russell, and they were sticklers to all the rules. They would make us wear our uniforms, but it was so cold this particular time, they let us wear hoodies. And I distinctly remember that because I was like, wow, this is a big deal. I was throwing. I had an amazing release on the discus. Good throw. It's kind of pumped. And I hear scratch. I was like, bro, my feet are behind the block. What's the problem? A bobby pin came out of my front hoodie pocket when I went to throw, and that mofo scratched me. Did it matter that his daughter was also a thrower and we were in competition? Probably. I am still holding that against them years later. I actually went to state, I think, for discus. I wasn't even as good at discus as I was. Did I go first discus and shot?
Yeah.
I should know that.
No, you just went for discus.
I didn't go for shot.
I don't think so. I don't know.
I can't remember. I can't remember how far I threw. And Charlie wants shoes, and I told her she had to break 30 feet in middle school. So she's got a few feet to go. I don't think I threw in middle school.
I didn't do track in middle school.
I maybe did it. But I can't remember. But...
Well, listen.
But we're all like, we sound nasty. We all, sounds like a.
When I got there, Charlie had snot froze to her nose.
So disgusting.
And I was like, hey, she's like, I can't even feel it.
You should do something about that on your face.
And like, it was just an awful day for a track meet. But it was a great day if you listen all the way to the end of this podcast.
Yeah. We got a little recap in of,
yeah.
Of our boys. Sorry if it, you know, if you're not interested in the
our life with an autistic kid.
What it's like. I honestly
listen, you can come take him for a week. I guarantee you're gonna call us in a day.
I just want to put this out there. If you are somebody who does want, because I think it gets annoying to others. I enjoy thinking about, talking about, and just wondering about, you know, child development now that I have a kid with autism.
Hey, I'm taking child development right now.
Kind of, I think, for Gary and I, it's not something that we always get to sit down and talk about because it's our life. It's every day.
Yeah, like I'm not going to burden if somebody asks me, yeah. I'll tell them. But it's not like I will never complain or feel like this is a burden on us. Like he is a gift.
He is.
He's the fucking man.
We love him a lot. He is.
He's going to steal your daughter one day.
From his birth, it was something that I didn't realize that we needed in our life. But even through his diagnosis, it is something that we realized we didn't need in our life. And it is not always the best gift. It's not always the gift that you're like, wow, it's just so wonderful to have a four-year-old who doesn't know how to wipe his own ass. But
oh, God. It's going to be the death of me, this little bastard. Because, like, they've taught him. This dude could piss on command. It is, like, he is great at that. But he'll shit in your floor.
And then look at you and lie to you that he did it.
Hey, man, did you poop?
Nope. Nah. Nope.
Bro, you got a pile on the floor.
Literally hanging out your butt.
No.
Nope.
All right.
Gotcha. On that note,
on that note, go shit in somebody's floor this week on our behalf. We love you. We appreciate everybody that listens and shares and comments.
Yep.
There's so many people that we talk to that listen that usually just laugh. I'm going to say laugh with us, not laugh at us. But it's okay if you're laughing at us.
Yeah.
We can be that for you this week. So Charlie's going to join us in a couple weeks. We're getting ready to hit a big milestone of 100 episodes.
What are we going to do?
Probably do, I don't know.
We'll talk about it. We'll have a business meeting.
Yeah, we had a business meeting today. Started off a little rough, but we smoothed it out.
We suck at business meetings.
I'm getting better at being a communicator. Something of a communicator
We myself. Can talk about that next week, our business meetings.
Yeah. Our quarterly business report.
It's real life.
Yeah, it's real life.
That's the only thing if you can get out of this podcast is we try to be as non-fake.
Yeah, this is real.
It's real. It is not always sunshine and rainbows over here. We're not going to tell you how to live your life.
No.
We're tell you how
There's no judgment here.
What we do is just tell you how screwed up ours is. And then you
maybe like, you feel better about yours.
You know what? I'm at least not those assholes.
Like maybe I'm not necessarily worse than them.
Right. I don't have like kids shit in my floor today.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm going to turn it over to our nice host to send us out of here. We love you. We'll be back next week. If you got something you want to talk about,
let us know.
Yeah. We're easy to get a hold of.
Anything except cryptocurrency, I don't understand it. So
that's coming up. That's going to be in the whole episode. NFTs and crypto. Fake. And how we can probably going to have a close enough coin coming out pretty soon. not too sure. We'll try to get it on the market.
How does that convert to Stanley dollars? Dwight bucks.
That's going to be
Shroot bucks
to Stanley nickels.
Yes.
Leprechauns to unicorns, baby. Leprechauns to unicorns. If you know the answer that's true, you're a real one. So until next week, we out.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Close Enough.
Leave us a like on our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at Close Enough Pod.
Consider giving us a share and review on whatever platform you found us on.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.